Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach Lee Fedora pregame show as we prepare for tonight's game between our A&M Consolidated Tigers and the Rutter Rangers. But before we talk about that, let's recap last week's win over the Montgomery Lake Creek Lions 66-26. Coach, the Tigers had an impressive performance against the Lake Creek Lions just a week ago. You won the toss, elected to take the ball, and proceeded to score in all four possessions in the first quarter, ending the first half with a score 40-26.
Well, I tell you, I was very proud of the way our offense played. And one thing I like about our kids at halftime, I came in and I said, guys, we're ahead, but defensively, we're not playing the way we need to play. And I had two or three of the defenders stand up and say, Coach, you're right. We're not where we need to be. We'll get it fixed. And we went in and we made a lot of adjustments and we told them, come out second half like 0-0. And you look at it, they didn't allow any points to go on the board, and we did a great job second half.
Yeah, to that point, in Lake Creek's first possession, they moved the ball almost at will against your defense. However, a turnover in the red zone was a big stop for the Tigers. What were they doing offensively, or what were you doing defensively that caused the Lions' success?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. What I think it is, and the kids admitted to it, I think they came out a little bit lazy in their mind thinking, oh, we're going to beat this team easy and that, and they didn't take it seriously. And, you know, Lake Creek was able to do a couple things that we had not seen, you know, like where they faked the jet from under center and then the quarterback kept it and ran up inside, and our defensive tackles didn't protect the A-gap. They shot out with the jet, and it opened up the inside. So those were things that we saw, and we made the adjustments and got it fixed for the second half.
Well, it's no secret that the Tigers have such great skill position players, but yet here's another week that we're going to talk about the outstanding play of Kerry Brooks. Kerry had a big punt return to the Lions' 8-yard line in the first quarter, but the Tigers could only muster a field goal. That had to be disappointing, but you did come away with some points.
Well, that wasn't a punt return. That was a kickoff return, and it was a big return on that. But he did a great job, and you know what I like about Kerry? He said, I can't believe I allowed him to catch me on 8. Why didn't I not score a touchdown? But, you know, what we always want to do, and that was one of our goals, you know, set up a chance for a score. And, yes, you want to get the touchdown out of it, but we ended up having to kick the field goal to get that. But I thought we did some great things on our kickoff returns and our punt returns. We got great field position.
Well, and another name that we seem to call week to week is Nate Floyd. He had a 49-yard touchdown reception in the first quarter, a 10-yard reception in the third quarter, and an interception in the first half. He truly is a complete player for the Tigers on both sides of the ball and special teams.
Well, when you watch him, you know, just like on the special teams return, you can see how much agile he is. I mean, he can juke and make people miss and that. And then you look at that interception, when you go back and watch it on film, it was just one that was flying by him and he stuck his left hand out there and it stuck to his glove. I mean, just one-handed. It shows type of athlete he is. And I'm very proud of Nate, you know, having to deal with the loss with Bryce Linder, great young man who's still a leader on the sideline over there after his surgery for his knee, having to move Nate back to safety, and he's still being a leader. And what I like about him, he was over there talking to Linder a lot of times, saying, hey, when they're in this, what I need to do? And that shows the leadership of Bryce Linder. He's out there coaching them up like a coach.
You know, you mentioned the one-handed catches. Mike and I have noticed in the pregame when we're there watching your pregame warm-ups, those receivers right down the line, they're practicing those one-hand catches. Is that something that you're promoting, or is that just something that seems like current players are doing now?
That's something that I don't promote. I try to tell them put two hands on the ball, but, you know, they still go up and make it one-handed catches. Because I will say this, in practice, Coach Mullins and Coach Harris, our receivers coach, they do a drill where it's one-handed. Because how many times in a game do you get a, you know, defender grabbing your arm and you got to use one hand, and it's mainly taking your eyes to the football, you know, seeing it all the way in. And that helped in that interception.
Well, Gage Paul seems to continue to mature as the season progresses. He was 15 for 20 with over 300 yards and 7 touchdown passes in the game. You have to be happy with his performance.
I've been very happy with him because I think he's been doing a lot better job on his scramble and finding open receivers. But one thing I like what Gage will tell you, when you got skilled guys like that, anybody's going to be able to put it in there and make big plays. But he's doing a great job communicating up front to our offensive line, blocking assignments and doing the reads correctly. And, you know, he's doing a good job and continue to improve each and every week.
Though it wasn't a turning point in the ball game, the Jamarcus Stewart interception on the Lake Creek 2-point try was about as exciting a play as there is in football. Too bad that the return for the score is only worth 2 points when his return was a bit over 100 yards. Seems like if you work that hard for a score and have to run that far, it should be worth more.
Well, you know, the one thing that I'm proud of is kids not giving up when they're going for that two-point conversion, because, you know, sometimes when somebody scores on you, you get upset about it and this and that, but they stayed focused. And like we tell them, 1 or 2 points can change a ball game, and that was a big energy level because you could see the excitement of the guys as he ran it over 100 yards to get that 2 points.
Something Mike and I thought might be a little controversial: in the third quarter, there was a questionable pass interference call on Xavier Stewart. Didn't look worthy of a flag. What did the tape show?
Well, you know, I'm never going to badmouth officials because it's tough when they're out there in the middle of the game. And one thing I heard my coaches yell over to Xavier, they weren't yelling at the official. They said, "Xavier, keep your head up. Don't worry about it. It is what it is." And went back and watched film, and he had good coverage on that. You know, it wasn't any grabbing or pulling, but it is what it is, and our guys responded from it.
Well, this team continues to play balanced offensively, 1,527 yards rushing, 1,924 yards passing, a total of 3,451 for the season. The Tigers are now in the top spot, leading the district in offensive production.
Yeah, I'm very proud of our guys because we've been a balanced team, and that's the thing we always said from the get-go. And I think defensively right now we're second in the district with it. But, you know, our defensive guys are still having that in their mind. They want to finish out at the top of their district. But like they're proud of, we're undefeated right now, and that's what our goal is, stay undefeated.
Coach, I want to get inside your head for just a second. Just a quick question. As Arsenio Hall used to coin the phrase, things that make you say, let's set the stage. It's the last possession of the game. Tigers have the ball. You're ahead by 40. There's only 40 seconds left in the game. You have players in that don't see real game time situations very often, and all you have to do is take a knee, the game's over. However, Lee Fedora calls a timeout. What are your thoughts there? Was it a teaching moment?
It is, because here's the thing that I've always said. You know, when you're getting those backups in, they got to get their play, because you never know when those backups are going to turn around and now have to be the guy that steps in for a guy if somebody gets injured. Because when you think about it, if you're a backup and you only get to go in there to do a victory and take a knee and all that, is that going to help you get ready for the future of the season? And that's not it. Now, am I one that wants to run the score up on anybody? No, that's not the case. But I've always learned this when I got in coaching. It ain't my job to stop us. It's your job. And I think as a coach on the other side, I've had this happen to me before. I didn't want coaches taking a knee because I had backup guys on defense that said, we got to see what's going on and get them better.
Coach, the Rudder Rangers are much improved under first-year head coach Eric Ezar.
I tell you, I'm very impressed with what Coach Ezar has done over there, and the fact, because when you think about it, when you look at the past, sometimes when you got up on Rudder, they laid down. But if you look at what they've done this year, there was a couple games they were way behind at halftime. Their kids kept fighting, came away with a victory. So it's like we tell our guys each and every week, it's not about opponents. We got to play our style of football, because Rudder right now still has a chance to get in the playoffs, you know. And so we're treating this game like a playoff game. It's one game at a time.
Well, much like the Tigers, the Rangers have a balanced attack. They're led by the coach's son, E.J. Ezar, a sophomore quarterback, and two very talented runners and receivers in James Ayers and Keithron Lee. As they go, it seems the Rangers go.
Well, and that's the one thing that we've got to be prepared for, is they will throw the ball a lot, but then that quarterback, he will take off and scramble, and he's not one that's going to slide down. He's going to run you over. He's physical in that. So we've been working it hard all week long. We got to take the passing game away. We got to make sure if they are passing that our defense line does a great job up front to make sure we don't give any gaps open to run.
Speaking of the defensive line, how good is their offensive line, and should the Tigers have some success in the matchups in the trenches?
Well, I think, you know, with the skill guys we got up front on our defense line, we can put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and that's the plus with what our defense has been doing. And then, you know, we've already talked about it, how your secondary is skillful and playful, and our linebackers are too. That could be a big plus for us to put a lot of pressure on the quarterback.
We talked a little bit about the quarterback Ezar and their runners, receivers, Ayers and Lee. Are there other players that we haven't mentioned that are threats to your defense? What kind of speed do they have? Are they able to get around the corners? Is there breakaway speed? That type of thing.
I think you've hit all the right guys. And to be honest with you, I think they've got a lot of athletes out there that can take it to the house at any time, because you go back and you watch a lot of their films. I've seen it on special teams where they've had some big returns and things like that, and they've had guys that have made big plays. And it's one of those things that I think our defense has gotten a lot better at. We're wrapping up. We're not just putting an arm on somebody and letting them run through us. And so that's going to be our big goal tonight, to do what we need to do on our defense.
Well, what type of defense do they run Are there any individual matchups that you particularly like, and what are their tendencies, and what do you think you can take advantage of?
Well, I'll be honest with you, that's a good question, because when we were watching film this weekend as coaches, we're like, what are they running? Because there were some times they put six guys all just standing up on the ball, and you got to know, are they in the odd front? Are they in the even front? They bring this, they bring that. So we spent a lot of time this week communicating, calling out different defenses that usually we call it a 3-2 double hip. Now we're calling it a 3-2 storm. We're doing different things, but our guys have adjusted to it and are ready for it.
Coach, with Rutter this week and Cleveland next week, what do you do with these two opponents to help you prepare for the playoffs?
Well, treated every game like it's a playoff game, you know. And one thing, I met with our seniors, because this is a neat night because it's senior night. You know, they're going to get to walk out there with their parents. They know, you know, this could be their last home game, but it's not their last home game, because if we take care of business, we get the first playoff game at our place. But they've been very focused about it and ready to go, and they're excited about it. And, you know, it's one of those things we tell them, it's kind of a crosstown showdown, so you got to be ready for anybody and everybody, and you're not worried about the playoffs yet. You're just worried about one game at a time, and our guys have bought into it and they're excited about it.
Well, I know you're worried just about one game at a time, faceless opponents, that sort of thing. But this time of year, things become a little clearer, still convoluted, but a little clearer. Is there any things that are unwinding as far as playoffs are concerned? You did mention that most likely you went out, Consolidated does play at home for the first round of the playoffs. What about, I guess it's Region 3 that we're going to be looking at? Are there teams that we need to be watching for playoff matchups?
Well, you know, when you look at the rankings, a lot of the people in Region 3, they're all in the top 10. So, you know, whoever you're going to play could be a good group, because like I tell guys, it isn't a big deal. Yeah, we could finish out first place and we play a fourth place team from another group. But when you see that fourth place team, they're playing other ranked teams that, you know, that hurt them, and you got to be prepared each and every game. And that is one thing I'm very proud of these young men about buying into, is they're all about one game at a time. They're focused on that. They're really excited. And now we're in that football weather, you know, where it's cooled off, and they're excited about it. And we're really fired up for this ball game, because we told our guys, and they know, this isn't going to be just one of those games that you take lightly.
Well, good luck tonight, Coach. And we're just minutes away from kickoff. When we return, I will be joined by Mike Wright for the call of tonight's ball game. For Coach Lee Fedora, I'm Mark Green, and you're listening to A&M Consolidated Tiger Football.